You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and I'm Mira Siva. So the research has found that instant perceptions not only had a role in people's selection of partners, but that their interpretation of faces was more often right than wrong when determining attitude. Now, how do our facial features determine whether we are attractive or not? To tell us more today is Assistant Professor Dr. Ian Stephen. Welcome to the show, Ian.
Hello.
You know, Ian, who is actually considered a physically attractive person?
Well, that really depends on how you mean that question. So you could answer that, say, Angelina Jolie or Brad Pitt are physically attractive people. But what we'd be interested in our research group would be, rather than who is attractive, why are they attractive? Mm. So you could say that perhaps Angelina Jolie is attractive because she has big lips and is perhaps well endowed in other ways as well.
Okay.
Or Brad Pitt because he has kind of boyish good looks but is still manly or something like that.
Mm-hmm. But when we talk about facial features, when we talk about physical attractiveness, which areas of the body are you referring to? Is it just the face? Is it, the whole physical, how we look?
Well, most research on this has focused on the face, and most of it has focused on, say, facial shape. So symmetry is important to attractiveness, so is how masculine or feminine you are in certain ways. But there are all kinds of different different things that influence your attractiveness. So your weight, your height, how much fat you have or how much muscle you have.
Okay, let's talk about weight.
Okay.
How important is weight in this world where obesity is on the rise?
Well, weight does seem to be quite important, and kind of conventional wisdom is that it's more important for women than it is for men to be the right weight, and that does seem to be true to an extent, but it seems like not only do we have some kind of instinctive perception of what's healthy and what's attractive when it comes to weight, it also appears to be influenced by culture as well. And we see this in, so most research in this area has taken place in the West, particularly in the UK and in America. And in those cultures where food is very easily available and there's lots of it around, you can pinpoint pretty accurately how healthy someone is. So how healthy a woman is or how healthy a woman looks basically corresponds pretty much exactly to the ideal healthy weight. Mm-hmm. But the most attractive weight is slightly below that, and it is actually a bit lighter. But then if you go into areas where perhaps food is less easily available and food scarcity is an issue, so parts of sub-Saharan Africa, for example, then they can still pinpoint health quite accurately. But what they find physically attractive is actually a heavier woman, possibly because it's suggesting that she's healthy because she can maintain this weight despite a harsh environment.
Okay.
As well as that, whereas kind of absolute weight is important, kind of the shape of the body is important as well. So for women in particular, having a small waist compared to her hips is important, and it's still certainly possible to be attractive with kind of a bigger figure, particularly if you've got still this smaller waist than hips.
There's a ratio to that.
Mm-hmm.
Waist to hip ratio,
and the kind of most attractive waist to hip ratio seems to be around about 0.7, meaning that your waist is 0.7 times the size of your hips.
Right.
So kind of about two-thirds the size of your hips.
Okay. And you mentioned instinctively we are attracted to certain traits. What are they?
well, there are kind of lots and lots of traits that we can talk about, but kind of where I said instinctive, that's kind of a fairly controversial statement. So obviously culture seems to influence how attractive you find people. Mm-hmm. There's also some indication that kind of early environment, so who you're around as you're growing up, influences how attractive you find people. But kind of one of the assumptions of a lot of this research is that kind of we assume that humans are evolved organisms like all other animals are, and so the brain is also an evolved organ within this evolved organism, and that the ability to pick out attractive people of people who would be appropriate to mate with is kind of a big evolutionary advantage. So evolutionary fitness is defined as kind of the ability to survive and to produce offspring. Mm-hmm. And if you go around mating with people that are not appropriate, then you're not going to be successful at producing offspring, even if you're successful at surviving. So evolutionarily, you still lose. Mm-hmm. So being able to pinpoint someone who's the same species, the same, the right age, the right gender, and is also kind of healthy and fertile, is an important part of maintaining a high evolutionary fitness.
Okay, how do you teach this subject today? If you ask me, all of what you just said is just like out the window today. It doesn't even apply anymore. But so what? How would you describe the state that we're in right now when it comes to, you know, facial features and what makes us really attractive? Is it the same things that drive it?
Yeah, I think it is the same things that drive it. And there's quite a lot of evidence that well, obviously, kind of the defining features of humans, particularly compared to other animals, are intelligence and flexibility. And it appears that flexibility is important even in kind of mate preferences. And there are lots of examples where, as I said, kind of as you're growing up, your exposure to people around you helps you to define what is an appropriate mate. So there's flexibility in that way. But there's also flexibility in the sense of if you grow up in a dangerous environment, then women tend to prefer kind of stronger, more masculine men who can potentially protect them against external threats. Whereas people who grow up in safer environments tend to prefer more, say, feminine men, men who would perhaps be seen as better fathers and more caring. So there's all this flexibility, which is kind of being exposed by the research that's going on, both in my laboratory here at Noti in Malaysia and also in other laboratories around the world.
Okay. When you were talking about, you know, how your growing up environment plays a huge part. Now, a father's facial appearance can have a profound influence over the looks that his daughter seeks in her partner, and likewise with the women and the sons. What are your thoughts on this? Is this proven?
There have been a few studies on this. And basically, the question came about by, well, how do you know what is an appropriate mate? How do you know that you should be, well, at a very basic level, mating with humans and not with something else? Mm-hmm. Now, either that could be completely instinctive and could be, say, hardwired into your brain effectively, or there could be an element of how when you're growing up, learning what you should be attracted to. And it seems like there's kind of aspects of both in there. But there have been experiments both in humans and in animals looking at this kind of thing. And they're kind of certain types of fish that are sort of very similar species, but actually different species, so they can't successfully mate together. And they are different colours. Now, if you take chicks from offspring from one of those species and put them in with offspring from one of the other species, they will then grow up actually preferring the wrong species.
Okay.
So then this kind of went into, well, does this happen to humans? Mm-hmm. And who are you exposed to most as kind of a very small child is your parents.
Okay.
And there is some evidence. So, for example, we have technology where we can take faces and make them look more or less like a specific person, for example. So you can take photographs of just random men from the population and make them look more like or less like a particular woman's father. And what you see if you do that is that women will find the ones that look a little bit, not completely like mm-hmm. their father, but a little bit like their father, more attractive if they've had a good relationship with their father. But if they've had a bad relationship with their father, if he was abusive or very cold and distant, say, she will actually find those men that look a bit too much like her father less attractive.
Right. And does that work with the mothers and the sons as well?
There are certain indicators that it might do. We know, for example, that in the West, men whose mothers have blue eyes are then more attracted to women with blue eyes. And there are similar things with hair colour as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Some people seem to think that Kate Winslet, who's marrying Prince William, resembles a lot of Princess Diana.
Kate Middleton.
Sorry, yes, Kate Middleton, yes.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah? Do you think? No.
A little bit.
Right. We'll come back and find out. When you look at a hopeful man's face, can that be enough to provide a woman with all the clues she needs to decide if marriage is the most likely end result? We'll find out on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and I'm Mira Sivasuthi. We're talking about facial features we find attractive with Dr. Ian Stephen, an assistant professor. Now, Dr. Ian doesn't want to comment on Prince William and Kate Middleton's attractiveness. Well, we'll move on to the next question. Now, apparently, when you look at a man's face, it's enough to provide a woman with all the clues she needs to decide if marriage is the most likely end result. Is that true?
I haven't seen it phrased quite like that before, but there is research that suggests that there is something to this. So, for example, generally, if a woman is looking for marriage, she's obviously looking for kind of a long-term relationship, and she's perhaps looking for someone to have children with and to kind of share a life and probably raise children together with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are aspects of a man's face that suggest whether or not he would be good at doing that. So this comes back again to the masculinity of a man's face. So a masculine man would have, say, kind of quite a strong jawline, heavy eyebrows, perhaps a bigger nose or something like that.
Okay.
And kind of going on to kind of his body would have sort of more muscles and things like that and bigger bone structure. Now, this is caused by the amount of testosterone that's present as the man's growing up. So more testosterone causes you to develop bigger bones and bigger muscles. But it also contributes to things like sex drive and to things like aggression. And there have been studies that have shown that men who have higher testosterone levels and therefore more masculine faces and bodies are less likely to get married if they do get married, they're more likely to get divorced. They're more likely to have what they euphemistically called a marital crisis, mm-hmm. Which is basically the man cheating on his wife. They're more likely to be violent in the home. Also more likely to commit crimes and get sent to jail. So there are all these things that, whilst women may find masculine men attractive, tends to be attractive in kind of a short-term sense, but they tend to prefer slightly more feminine-looking men who are perhaps more agreeable, more friendly, better with children for a longer term relationship.
Right. Okay. That's interesting. Very interesting. What about the other way around? What do the men look for in the woman?
We've been talking about what makes men attractive in that last bit, and that's, as we're starting to see, fairly complicated, and it depends on the man, it depends on what the woman is looking for, it depends on all kinds of different things about the woman as well, and the environment. What men look for really is very simple. Men's preferences for women is nowhere near as complicated as the other way around. Men are looking for women effectively with signs of fertility. Mm-hmm. Now, this is things like we already mentioned the body shape, mm-hmm. so waist to hip ratio, yeah. Other aspects of body shape that I won't mention too sure. Too closely. Also things like being of a fertile age, so typically between 18 and 30 or so. Signs of fertility and signs of health.
What about hair color? What about height? What about eyes?
Well, all of those seem to play a role. Eyes seem to be a kind of an indicator of youthfulness, which is important because women's fertility declines very quickly as they get older, which is not a problem, not so much of a problem for men, although it is slightly, which is why age seems to be more important for women's attractiveness than for men's attractiveness. Now, as we grow up and as we grow older, eyes, relative to the size of our faces and the size of our heads, get smaller. So big eyes are thought to be basically a sign of youth, which is why, for example, mascara and eyeliner are used to make the eyes look bigger. You also mentioned height. Mm-hmm. Height seems to be more important for men than it is for women. For a variety of possible reasons, kind of slightly taller men tend to be, it's kind of a symbol of kind of strength and dominance. It's also associated with more success in the workplace and higher earning. Men who are even kind of an inch taller earn significantly more than men who are slightly shorter.
Right, which brings me to, do physically attractive people have an advantage at work? Are they more likely to be selected or promoted and better paid than less attractive people?
As a rule, yes. It seems like the research is showing that being attractive is always good for you, for your career, if you're a man. So more attractive men, possibly because they have more confidence, but also because other people view them in a certain way. So more attractive people are viewed as more intelligent, and or more attractive men in particular are viewed as more intelligent and more confident, and etc. And more attractive men are more successful in obtaining jobs and in getting promotions and in getting pay rises. For women, it really depends. It can be a help or it can be a hindrance. There's lots of anecdotal mm-hmm. evidence about this, but there's also some kind of proper research about this as well. Being more attractive if you're a woman is great if your boss is a man.
Of course.
It is not so good if your boss is a woman, particularly if your female boss is older than you. Then being attractive actually holds you back in your career, and they're less likely to have a favourable view of you, less likely to hire you in the first place, less likely to promote you or give you pay rises.
And the man boss doesn't have a problem when the handsome female employee comes around?
It's possible that they might do, but it seems to have less of a impact on it. They will, however, give attractive young women the job more often and give them more promotions and pay raises.
Now, studies show that attractive people prefer to associate with others like themselves. Is this true?
It could be true.
Hence the cool kids in school and, you know.
Well, there are a couple of different aspects to this. So attractiveness is, as well as being kind of a sign of fertility and things, is also a sign of health and a sign of kind of strength and things like that. So kind of from a sort of basic social point of view, it seems that people prefer to associate with attractive people. Assuming that this is true, and the research seems to show that it is true, that then would mean that more attractive people would have a bigger pool of people to choose from as associates and things like that. So in that way, you could get attractive people being more popular and things like that. There are also some experiments, particularly being done with trust games, so looking at how willing people are to trust other people, suggesting that people are more likely to say trust more attractive people, though it's not clear whether they really do trust them in a kind of a theoretical sense, or whether they just want to appear to trust them. So is a man trusting a woman because he actually thinks that she'll give him the money back, or does he just want an interaction with that woman?
Right.
The other side to this kind of attractive people associating with each other is what would be called assortative mating. Now, this theory suggests that, say, the two most attractive people in any group will end up together, and then the next two attractive people will end up together, and then the next two attractive people, and so on and so on. And you do see that to some extent. So attractive people are more likely to end up married with other attractive people. Attractive people also, of course, have more opportunities to explore the opposite sex before they settle down, and continue to have more opportunities to explore the opposite sex even after they've settled down.
Right.
But the flip side of that is more attractive people are also less likely to be cheated on than less attractive people. So perhaps by kind of this assortative mating, it's people are pairing up with people who they can keep a hold of. Perhaps there's, if you think of the example of Anna Nicole Smith, who married an 84-year-old man, billionaire.
Yeah.
She probably didn't want him for his attractiveness, but a couple who are that far apart in attractiveness, you would predict that perhaps it might not be such a faithful relationship. Mm-hmm. And I believe it turned out that their child was not his, and I believe it also came out that that child could have been any one of about 20 other men.
Right.
So obviously that's Anna Nicole Smith and not a normal person.
No.
But
yes, to
it
make
illustrates
your
point, yeah.
Yes. Okay. How do we stay attractive?
As people grow old, another thing that you can see in people's faces is their age. And we've also mentioned that particularly for women, youthfulness is a key part of attractiveness. which of course leads to the multi-billion dollar cosmetics industry and creams promising to reduce the amount of wrinkles and creams helping to keep you youthful and makeup to smooth out your skin and hide the appearance of wrinkles and all of these kinds of things as well.
Right. So how do we stay, I mean, put all this aside, how do we stay attractive the healthy way?
Well, good things. My research, I've recently shown that eating fruit and vegetables is good for your attractiveness. And this is because they contain substances called carotenoids, which are kind of yellow orange pigments. And we eat these and then they get deposited in our skin, giving us what we've been describing as a golden glow. And this actually makes you look healthier and makes you look more attractive. So perhaps having a healthy diet and eating lots of fruit and vegetables is one way of going about it. And this research we did in the UK, but hopefully, and we have some evidence with an African population that similar things happen there. But one of the reasons I chose to move to Kuala Lumpur and take the job at the University of Nottingham here is to get this kind of validated in an Asian population. So are the same things, do the same things work in Asian people who obviously have different skin colours to Westerners to start off with? All the theory suggests that it should be very similar in Asian people.
So what should be?
It's going to be interesting to find out.
What should we be loading up on?
So kind of the fruits and vegetables that are high in these carotenoids include things like, any kind of orange or red or yellow fruits or vegetables. Also green leafy vegetables, so perhaps red peppers, chilies, spinach, or
tomatoes.
I guess around here, kangkung, tomatoes. Anything like that has high concentrations of these carotenoids in and will kind of affect your skin colour in a good way.
Okay.
Another thing, of course, is get some exercise. This both helps to keep your weight down and so obviously we've talked about weight earlier. So
maintains your waist to hip ratio.
Yep. But also is thought to affect your skin colour in another way, in that people who are physically fit have healthy heart, healthy lungs, they have more red blood cells, they can get more oxygen into the blood, which gives that blood a nice kind of bright red colour, as opposed to people who don't have so much oxygen in their blood, which they have more of kind of a darker purpley coloured blood, and that's reflected in your skin colour as well, and that seems to affect our health and our attractiveness too.
Okay, so nothing comes easy, does it?
It does not.
No.
The same old story, isn't it? Eat fruits and vegetables and get some exercise.
Thank you very much for joining us. Dr. Ian Stephen, an assistant professor, talking to us about facial features we find attractive on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.